Glad to be with you this morning and pleasure to worship with you. Does anybody know what this is? Do you like French fries? Let me see who likes French fries. Oh, yes, I see a few people do. Yeah, especially children. I know they'd love it. But, you know, Jesus used familiar things to teach simple lessons when he was teaching his disciples. And this morning I'm going to try to do something similar to that. The French fries here, the representation of them is going to be a metaphor for something else. But each time you eat a French fry, I hope you will remember this message. And the story I want to tell you is about Harold and his son. Now, Harold had a son, and he was 5 years old, and his son's name was Jimmy. So he asked his son, "Is there anything you'd like to do right now?" And Jimmy said, "Well, I'd like some McDonald's French fries." "Oh, okay," his father said. "Well, if that's what my boy wants, that's what my boy Jimmy is going to get." So they both got into the blue and white pickup, and they headed down toward the McDonald's restaurant. And, of course, Jimmy's lips and his tongue were silently moving as he could taste those French fries even before they reached the restaurant. His dad made the order, and, of course, Jimmy's heart pounded when his dad said to the person taking the order, "Make it a supersize." "Yeah, make it a supersize." Well, Harold took out the money from his pocket and his wallet to pay for the fries and a drink, and Jimmy's little teeth were ready to sink into those hot golden fries even before they got to the table. When they sat down, grace consisted of what? "God bless this food, amen." Right? But that was way too many words, even for Jimmy. He was so eager to delight himself in this huge blessing of French fries. Well, Harold was really happy to see his little boy so happy over something so simple that he decided that he would join in the fun. And so he reached over to get one of those French fries from Jimmy. But to his surprise, what would Jimmy do? Oh, no, Dad, those are mine. Isn't that right? Well, isn't that way many children would react, and even we might? Well, his dad was in kind of a state of shock for a moment. He said, I can't believe it just happened. And Harold pulled back his hand and began to reflect on his son's attitude towards those fries. And let's think about what Harold was thinking in his mind as we what he was thinking. He said, he was thinking that my son failed to realize that I am the source of those French fries. You know, at the counter, I was the one who gave the cashier the money from my wallet. I did not give him the size fries he was expecting, but I gave him something twice as big. And yet, here he is talking about my French fries. Not only was I the source of the French fries, but he has forgotten that at my size, 6'1" and 195 pounds, I have the power to take all those French fries away from him, despite his little arms around them, trying to protect them as a little fort. Or that if I wanted to, I could go back to the counter and bring him so many fries that he could never eat them all. He also does not understand that I don't need his French fries. I could go back to the counter and get as many French fries as I wanted. And as Harold thought about it, one or two fries really would not have made so much of a difference for him that day. What he really wanted was for his son Jimmy to invite him into the wonderful little world he had made possible for his son. He wanted his son to be willing to share the very blessing that he had provided. And when we talk about stewardship, we have to realize that every day God gives us the choice to live out the chance to never underestimate him. God takes us to McDonald's on a regular basis in our lives, doesn't he? God blesses us. He blesses you, and God blesses me. He's given us all some French fries. Some have a small, some have a medium, others a large, and maybe some have supersized, but God has given each one of us some French fries. Now, like that Dad Harold, God desires to sit down at the table with us for some fellowship. And when God reaches over to use some of those blessings that he has given to us, far too often we say, "Oh, no, God, I'm sorry, this is mine. No, no, you can get your own." We try building a little fort around our blessings, don't we? Is there anybody here this morning that doesn't understand that God is the source of all that we receive? Sure, we may have had to work, but how many of you know that you've got to have something within you that you didn't put in you to have the ability to get up and go to work? Is there anybody here today that doesn't understand that God has the ability to take away everything we think is ours, or that God has the ability to give us far more than we have? There's not a single person here today who knows how many times God has already spared their lives when death came knocking. We should never underestimate God's power to protect us from the things we did not even know about. Is there anybody here that recognizes that God does not need our French fries, and that it is an honor and a privilege to be able to share our French fries with God? God does not ask us to give because God is hurting and in desperate need. God asks us to give because he wants us to be like him. God has a giving attitude. He wants that giving attitude modeled in his children. The first verse in the Bible that many people learn, what is it? John 3:16. And it says, "For God so loved the world that he," what? "That he gave." He gave his only begotten son. You know, throughout the Bible, you find that God is always giving. In your own lives, how many of you know that you cannot underestimate God's ability to provide for you in ways that you had not thought possible? God is very interested in our response to the blessings he sends our way and what we choose to do with them. Now let's look at the scripture that we read this morning. It's our 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Beautiful passage where in the first 9 verses of this chapter, the Israelites had just taken up an incredible offering for a new building project, the sanctuary. Moses had asked David had asked the congregation to bring an offering, and the Israelites kept bringing and kept bringing. They were going to build the first temple for God, and the people had gone overboard in their giving. They were celebrating because the leaders were pledging their gold, their silver, their jewelry, and everything else that they had of value. And, you know, David is saying something here very important as we look at this. In 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10 to 16, David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven is yours, and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom, and you are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given only what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight, as were our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow, without hope. But, O Lord our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for your temple, for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. Now, as we think about verse 11, the word everything, and we look also at words in verse 14, everything comes from you. And the last six words, it all belongs to you. David, the writer, understood that everything comes from God. Everything. In verse 12, the last part of the verse says, in your hands are strength and power to exalt and strength and give strength to all. David understood that God was in control and could give us French fries or take them away. Now in verse 14, it says, everything comes from you and we have only what comes from your hand. That's interesting. It's saying that God, you gave us everything we have and we're just turning around and giving some back to you. David is saying, God, you're the total source of all that we have. All this wealth that we have given for the building of the temple, you have put it in our hands. And then we took it out of our hands and put it back in your hands. Now, am I saying that God is the source of everything? Yes. Whether we worked for it, whether we won it, whether we found it, or whether we received it as a gift, God is still the ultimate source. Exodus 9, verse 29 tells us, so Moses said to him, as soon as I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease, and there will be no more hail, that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. Psalms 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and all those who dwell therein. The Bible tells us the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Everything we think we own belongs to God. Well, wait a minute. Are you saying my car, my house, my iPad, my clothes, my food belong to God? You may think you earned it. You worked for it. But you could not have done those things without strength that God provides. There are people more educated than you, smarter than you, prettier, or more handsome, or more persuasive than you, but they can't get up out of a hospital bed. Your health and the ability to get anything is a gift from God. Your family, your spouse, your loved ones are all gifts from God. There's nothing we have that God ultimately has not provided. We are growing in Christ when we realize that God gives to us and delights in giving to others and giving back to God. Doesn't it amaze you that we would act like Jimmy with French fries when dealing with God? God gives us all these French fries and we're sitting around saying, oh no, these are mine. God, as a parent, is hurt because we have such a limited understanding that everything we have is God's and still is God's. If you really think something belongs to you, just die and try and keep it from anyone from taking it. Can't do it, can you? Leviticus 27:30, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Genesis 28:22, and this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And all that I give, you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. In these Old Testament verses, God asked the people to bring in a tithe and to see if he will not bless them for it. A tithe is nothing more than a penny out of a dime, or a dime out of a dollar. Now, if God sat with you at a table and he gave you 10 dimes, what would cause you to say no to God if he asked for one of them back? Yet 90% of all people who say they love God will say no. God, this is mine. We get upset about returning 10% when God is entitled to how much? 100% to do as he pleases. The moment God puts money into our hands, we declare, this is mine. I'll only give you what I want. Up goes the fortress around our fries. We have no idea how blessed we are and of all the things that God has done for us. I'm reminded of a story of a pastor who is trying to teach a new member about tithing. Now, the member asked the pastor if he needed to return a tithe as he wasn't making very much money and it was difficult to make ends meet. But the pastor explained that we need to make a commitment to return tithe, and that is what God requires. And that a tithe of $10 is only $1. Well, the member said, well, I think I could do that. The pastor suggests they should seal the commitment with prayer and ask God to provide him maybe with some better employment. Maybe that would help him. And of course, as they prayed and as time passed, the member confided to the pastor that God had blessed him and he had found better employment and he was now making a little more money. And now he was able to increase his tithe. But over another period of time, the member found better employment and better employment until he was making large sums of money, until one day he came back to the pastor and he said, Pastor, can I break my commitment to the tithe as I can no longer afford to pay tithe? Well, the pastor said, I don't think you can break your commitment to the Lord, but you could pray and ask God to give you your old job back where you made $10. I've heard it said, too, that John D. Rockefeller, you know, one of the wealthiest men of the world, said that if he didn't tithe his first $1 million, he would not have been able to tithe. Seems like a lot, doesn't it? Seems like much when we start to realize that we become selfish. But God loves us so much that he has not even given up on us yet, even though we make it plain, I'm not letting you have any of my fries. Do you know what gratitude is? Gratitude is having an understanding and appreciation of the blessings that we have in life. Some of you here would like to show God your gratitude, but like Jimmy, you're not sure you will have enough fries to meet all your needs and desires. There are three things we should know about God when we're afraid to believe that God will meet our needs financially if we're faithful tithers. The first deals with God's power. By this I mean God's ability. Does God have the ability to give us what we need if we give to support the work of God in this life? And of course, this is going to boil down to whether or not we can believe Jesus. Now, we trust Jesus with our eternal salvation, don't we? Which is by far the greatest thing we have at stake. I mean, if Jesus is lying to us, then we are still lost and in danger of spending eternity separated from God. But now this is the same Jesus who told us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He also tells us in Matthew 6:25-34, therefore I say unto you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This is the same Jesus that took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes and fed over 5,000 people. If Jesus could do this with a little boy's lunch, can he do that with what we have? Or maybe he's not doing that anymore. When we sing, as we sang this morning, Jesus is all the world to me, do we really mean it? Should God take us seriously with our praise and worship to him? Or maybe we need to rewrite the songs. Lord, if after I pay for cable and call waiting and 3-way calling and unlimited calling packages and my data plan, my designer clothing, the car I can't afford, and last year's Christmas shopping on my credit card, if after I pay for that there's anything left, I'll show you my love. But right now, don't reach over here for 10% of my fries. Well, the second thing we need to learn about God is that is God's provisions. God's provision is God's willingness to give. God is willing to give to you today what you need. God is so willing to give that the Bible tells us he causes his blessings to flow on those who don't serve him as well as on those who do. Matthew 5:45 says that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. God is so eager to bless his people's lives that they may see his goodness, that they would come into a relationship with him for what is really a blessing. But there is something special when God targets you to be the one to receive something special from him. Anything that God asks of you today, God has made it possible for you to do it. Is there anyone here who would ask their child to go to the store to purchase some milk, knowing that the milk would cost $2.99, but only give them 50 cents to purchase it? No, if you expected them to bring home the milk, you'd give them enough money to buy it, wouldn't you? Then there are people who are always wanting to give God something that they don't have. Lord, if I won a Lotto 649, Lord, if I had $1 million, a lot of us would start lying. Because, you see, that's not what would happen. We know. But, you see, tithing is never an issue of about how much, the amount. It's more of an about attitude. God says, look, keep that $500,000 you would give me if you had $1 million. Let's talk about that $700 work check you get each week from the 2 weeks or 2 weeks or a month that you get from work. I'd rather have the $70, which tells me go ahead and eat some of Mother French fries. The third thing we should know about God is that God wants to work in partnership with us in reaching people. God could have sent an angel to preach the gospel in Bay Roberts, but God didn't do that. He established the Bay Roberts Seventh-day Adventist Church, and on many Sabbaths, or whenever we get together as a group, we can hear people's testimony that the Lord has been good to me this week, and I want to thank him for it. When we sing, "When I survey the wondrous cross," what a testimony. "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See, from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." How many people are out there that God has entered into a partnership with us to reach? How many people are waiting to know of God's goodness? Our purpose is to bring people into a right relationship with God. When we get into a right relationship with God, we're equipped to deal with each other. God has you here today so we can have an opportunity, so we can have an opportunity to make your life count for God. God needs people who are willing to reach out and touch others, as well as people who realize they need to be touched. God needs you to make a difference. What role is God going to have you fulfill to equip and enable you to be a giver of new life? Somebody who is on drugs still needs help. Somebody whose home is falling apart needs our help. Somebody who does not know God needs our help. Somebody who is just about to give up hope needs our help. Can God call on us to return 10% of our fries plus an offering? The only time God asks us to test him is when it comes to our giving back to him. God isn't asking us to become poor. God is not saying we won't have anything if we give to his work. God himself said in Malachi 3, verses 10 to 12, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. See if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much a blessing, such a blessing that you will not have enough room to receive it. I will prevent the pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your field will not cast their fruit, the Lord says Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty." Despite what people say God's word is saying, that we can all afford, despite what people say God's word is saying we can all afford to tithe, it does not say we can all afford to tithe and hold on to everything we have. You see, some of us have been spending God's money for so long on wrong things that we may have to let some of them go to begin to get our finances in order. Maybe we'll have to let go the premium channels on cable, or maybe cable altogether. Maybe we can't keep our cell phone or all the features on our home phones. Maybe we need to lease or buy a less expensive car, or maybe not eat out so much. Maybe we're living a lifestyle we can't afford to live. But tithing is simply a matter of choosing to do what we ought to do in our relationship with the Lord. We serve a giving God. The more we serve him, the more giving we should become. Will you break down the wall around your fries and say to God, "Your plan and your purposes for my life and the lives of those around me are far greater than what I could do with these fries. Lord, take them and do as you see best." God is challenging us to allow him to set us free from our fries so that we might enter into a deeper relationship with him. Let us never underestimate God's power to give us far more fries than we will ever need as we joyfully return them back to to God.